Good morning, everyone. This is Linda Santavica on Pressing Beyond. We've all experienced our share of losses. Somewhere as the loss is so deep, the grieving has no bottom. How deep we grieve is how deep we loved. In the case of award-winning author of Let Yourself Be Loved, Big Lessons from a Little Life, Elizabeth Leon went through the depths of despair, yet found that in great loss, there is beauty. Good morning, Elizabeth, and happy birthday.
Thank you, Linda. Good morning. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation to be on your podcast.
I'm glad you're here. I read your heartfelt yet powerful book, Let Yourself Be Loved. And normally when I start these podcasts, I ask those on the podcast how they came up with their idea, given a lot of it is business related, product related. However, in the spirit of your book and what has gone on with you, it wasn't an idea, but a life happens incident that changed your world. Mm-hmm. And that given, you, your husband Ralph, and your family had to press beyond a devastation which you had no control over.
You're absolutely right. So you're talking about the book, Let Yourself Be Loved, is a beautiful love story of our son, John Paul Raphael. So my husband, Ralph, and I are in a second marriage. And we brought 9 children together, 5 of mine and 4 of his, and we were married in 2013. And John Paul Raphael is the only child that we share together. And I was delighted and a little surprised to find out I was pregnant at the age of 45 in 2017. And because, you know, there are some inherent risks involved in having what they call a geriatric pregnancy, it was important to us to do some genetic testing just to be fully informed. Sure. About any special needs our son might have. We found out he was a little boy, but the genetic testing also revealed that there was a very high, in fact, the highest likelihood that he had a condition known as trisomy 18, which is also called Edwards syndrome. And it's a condition the medical community calls incompatible with life. I don't really like that term at all. It's He was already alive at the time that they gave him that diagnosis, but it is always life limiting. Mm. It's always a diagnosis that means that this child, our little boy, was going to die. We didn't have any idea whether that would be in the womb, if we would be able to have the gift of carrying him to full term and be born alive. And if so, how long would he live then? Minutes, hours, days, weeks. But I think the statistic is that less than 5% of trisomy 18 babies make it to their first birthday.
I knew you were going to be on the podcast. I did my own research because I never heard of trisomy 18 or Edwards syndrome. And through the studies that I was reading, I think there was one woman who made it to 40 years old. When you first heard this, when the doctors told you that that was his condition, what were your thoughts?
It was so devastating, and the immediate grief was crushing. It was numbing. It was shouting. It was everything you could imagine with the horror of realizing this was not going to be what we wanted it to be. We were required to live in uncertainty. There was no other way. I mean, there was a test. We could have done an amniocentesis, and that would have told us for sure whether he had trisomy 18. But we didn't do it because it wouldn't tell us what we really wanted to know. Mm. Would he be born alive? When would he die? What would his death be like? How could we ever survive? Mm. So the medical community had no ability to give us those answers. So we were forced to live in this raw, unpredictable reality. Our worst fears could come true at any moment, and there was nothing we could do. Mm-hmm. How do you learn to hold fear and hope and love together while navigating what became a very medically complicated pregnancy at the same time and taking care of our 9 other children? So it was definitely a season of great suffering, but it was also, you know, the 36 weeks and 5 days that I held our son within me. I mean, from that perspective, it was a season of great joy. And we really learned what it means to surrender. And I've kind of crafted my own definition of surrender, but it means trusting that God is good, even when you have no evidence that anything is good about this situation, but you know that He is good. So that gave us hope that regardless of what happened, we knew we weren't alone in this journey. And that lesson of surrender was incredibly helpful and life-changing. You know, after we, you know, we got to the point where we experienced his life and then his death, because we really never know what life is going to throw at us. And we can't live in fear. We can't live anticipating a phone call, anticipating a diagnosis. So this invitation to surrender compelled us to live in the present moment. Now, and I am not superhuman, so I lived in the present moment and I lived in fear at the same time.
Well, you know what? To me, surrendering is fighting the good fight, allowing God to take over.
For sure. And take over, he did. I mean, he allowed there to be so much beauty in our son's very short, but such a tremendously joy-filled life. We did make it through the pregnancy, 36 weeks and 5 days. And there were these very complicated moments at the end, managing the medical side with trisomy 18 babies. At some point, they're going to stop growing in the womb. He was very small at full term. He was only 4 pounds and 1 ounce. So when that happens, when they stop growing, it's indicative that there's a problem going on in the child's body. And so at that point, we needed to deliver as quickly as possible. But despite having prepared through my whole pregnancy, I was kind of frozen, because to decide when to deliver him was also to decide when did I want my child to die. And so that day, you know, I can just remember staring at the doctors and looking at Ralph and thinking, how do we pick? How do we know? If we go right to the hospital today the day he's going to die. But if we wait a few more days, is he going to die in my womb? And it was such a complicated balancing act of fear and hope and science all going on at the same time. And I was so grateful, actually. We picked a day to induce delivery, but I went into labor the next day. My water broke. And so I was so grateful. God just took it out of my hands.
Right.
And our little boy, John Paul Raphael, was born by emergency C-section on January 4th. And we got 28 hours and 10 minutes of perfect, complete joy before he passed away in our arms.
From reading your book, you had the whole family was there. Everybody took turns holding him. And did you have any anticipation when, how much longer he had? Did the doctors give you any indication like he'll be here for a week? He'll be gone in 2 hours? I mean, is there any kind of forecast did you get?
Well, we had done a lot of testing, checking out the other parts of his body. Like, did his heart work? We did MRIs, we did CAT scans, we did fetal echocardiograms. So we knew that the rest of his body was good. We had every reason to think, outside of the fact that he had trisomy 18. But for us, it was just watch and wait. There was nothing to predict how long he would live. Nothing at all.
When we lose, when we grieve a loss, we do not know how we're going to respond to that. I mean, in your case, it was preparing for the worst.
Yeah, we had to prepare for his life and his birth, and we had to prepare for his death. And it was really the one thing I felt like I couldn't plan for. I had no idea what it was going to feel like when grief slammed into me. I mean, I read books, I read blogs, I read articles, you know, I knew about it, but I didn't have any idea what it would feel like for me. The grief journey has been one of the most brutal and painful, but also surprising and beautiful and unexpected journeys. There was no way to predict how awful it would be, because it was worse than my worst imaginations, and yet more beautiful than anything I could have predicted. It changed me. Grief cracked my heart open in a way that I needed help to heal. I needed God to help me heal my heart and to heal that loss. But what happened was, while he was in my heart, healing my grief for my son, He asked if he could heal a whole bunch of other stuff too. As I healed from my grief and my heart was being put back together, I was healed from other wounds, other traumas. And my heart was bigger. A heart that's been put back together with God is bigger than it was before.
So as you were going through all this, and I know you and I talked about this, you journal a lot, you blog a lot. You have a great website, by the way, which is elizabethleon.org. So here we go. So now you are going through all this, you're journaling on. So you had to go somewhere with this.
I had to figure out what to do with it. It was too intense. It was physically too much to hold in my body. And I did a lot of active grieving, and I mean like yelling, smashing things, throwing things, which was very helpful. But I also needed to find the words, in part because other people's words were so important to me during that long, painful pregnancy. I clung to the words of other moms that had been down this road and described the landscape that I was going to face. So it was kind of a payback. I wanted to give back and put out there into the world something of my own experience of our journey of how can you hold all of those things together. So that's kind of what compelled me to write, both the instinctive need for it and also a desire to share our experience if it helps one other
Absolutely.
person.
That's one thing I elicit from your book. Your story was so strong, gripping. It was that much beautiful.
Thank you. It was really important to me to tell the truth. And that was hard at times because the truth was pretty painful. You know, I think of writing the section where it was the last moments in the hospital, and he'd already died, and they needed to take his body away. You know, writing about, or even we took a walk in the hospital. We spent one night there after he had died, and we spent 22 hours with John Paul's body after he passed, before he was taken away. And, you know, and yet it's a powerfully beautiful memory for me.
This is something because, again, I can never identify with this, but when I was reading it, I was like, you know, here's this couple holding their child who's only been alive for 28 hours, and you're walking through the hospital.
But I think you may not know child loss, but you will know grief, and you will be given circumstances that are out of your control, that require surrender, that are very uncertain and have the promise of pain, right? You know, so that is a very universal experience.
Absolutely. We've
So,
all, and I always believe the deeper the grief, the greater the love.
yeah, for sure.
And what now is like, it's been 5 years, you and Ralph and the family, how, given John Paul is still a memory to you, he's alive in you, how are you moving forward? I mean, logistically, you have your life, you get up every day, you do your thing, and you know, one goes to work and this one does that, but in your heart, he's still there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I believe in the communion of saints that his soul is eternal. And because he's a baby, we know he went right to heaven. Like there was no
Oh, he's
question
little.
of where his baptized soul was going. So we have that hope of eternal life for him. And we have our special ways for how we keep him alive. I have a baby blanket, you know, with a terminal diagnosis. We didn't buy a lot of stuff when he was here, but we have a little blue blankie that I still sleep with every night. And I carried that blanket around for a year. He was wrapped in it every minute of his life. That was how I needed to grieve. And we keep him alive mostly because he had a lot to say in a very short life. You know, the Lord gave us this message to let yourself be loved the night before we buried John Paul. And it's taken a little while to unpack what that really means. I mean, it was at first an invitation for me personally, as a woman, as a mother, let yourself be loved in this loss, in this grief. It was also that each person on earth doesn't really need to do anything to be loved. I mean, John Paul didn't do anything. He was this very tiny baby, and yet we poured love on him just because of the gift of his life. And I think we forget that sometimes as we grow, as we age, as, you know, life throws a lot of stuff at us, that We are loved by the God of the universe
Yes.
just because he made us.
Exactly.
So
Exactly.
unpacking it that way. And then it's really led to a whole mission and ministry opportunity for me. I mean, I do women's workshops and I do a lot of speaking around this idea of how do we let ourselves be loved? What if you hear that message and you think, I don't even know what that means? Grief brought me to a territory in myself where I feel more alive than I've ever been, which is a crazy
Wow.
story.
Well, you know, it does, but you know something though, Elizabeth, there's something in all of us, you know, we if life is humming along and everything's going great, but the challenges is what brings us it what invigorates our spirit, the challenges, the disappointments, the despair, and loss.
You know, the subtitle to the book is Big Lessons from a Little Life. You know, over it was about 3.5 years before the book was finished after John Paul died, and really trying to tease out like what did we learn from this? How do we make sense of it? And a couple of the lessons that really stood out for me was one, the miracle that you get isn't always the miracle you prayed for.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
So we prayed for a miracle of his healing, that he would have a long life, but we got the miracle that he was born alive. And we've had countless miracles through his death. The miracles have kept coming, you know, some that we may never really understand. And I think part of that huge miracle is my own healing. But another one is that the worst thing and the best thing are really the same thing. It's this idea that joy and grief are inextricably linked because of love, and that it was terrible that John Paul died, and yet there has been so much fruit through that death experience that I can't go back and say, I wish I was different. But I don't want to go back to being the woman I was before he died, and I don't wish that he never lived. But you know, you talk about the joy of his birth, but there was incredible grace and joy in a holy death. Beauty in a holy death. So, I mean, really, that time while he was dying and then after he died, it is the most sacred time I've ever experienced in my whole life, which has changed all of us for the better. So I'm just so grateful for that. And that's part of what letting yourself be loved means is when the stuff comes flying your way that you didn't want, you didn't ask for, you can't stop, it really hurts. How can there be something beautiful in the midst of that? Also, you know, I've been invited to or accepted a position where I do grief work. Also, there's a beautiful ministry called Redbird Ministries, which deals especially with grief for child loss. So it's this way that I have been very well equipped through my own experience of walking through darkness. And now I am journeying with other men and women, other families of loss.
Wow.
Because once you've been in the darkness, you're not afraid of the dark. Met with a father the other day whose son died by suicide just 3 weeks before. You know, we just sit together, you know, on Zoom and just share. Because I've been there, I haven't lost a child to suicide, but I have lost a child. Because I've been there, I'm not afraid of anything he might be feeling, anything he might need to say. There's a real acceptance and an understanding that this foreign country you've been dumped into, that there are people there that have lived there and have survived and thrived there. That's really part of my mission, is to help people figure out just how to integrate grief and be open to the possibility of finding beauty and joy again. You know, the darkness of grief for me is what led me to peace, purpose, and joy.
That is beautiful, and I think everybody grieves.
Yeah.
And everybody would love to have that experience, to rise from the wreck and experience the joy and the peace and have purpose. And you found yours.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah. I didn't ever think I would be a writer, but as you know, we touched on before, I needed an outlet and the words just flowed. They kept flowing and flowing and flowing and brought me great comfort. I mean, yeah, it was nice to have other people like what I had to say too, but it was mostly my own need. And then it was an invitation to write a book.
You had to do it. You had to do it. And it's beautiful. And the thing is, I just want to let everybody know the book is Let Yourself Be Loved, Big Lessons from a Little Life. And it's an award-winning book as well. Elizabeth Leon, especially for those who are going through a loss right now, this is a book that will definitely give you hope because there is beauty in suffering.
Amen. It's a story of transformation through very unexpected circumstances.
I'm very excited to hear what's going to, how things are going to pan out as you continue your ministry.
Sure, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Linda.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your story.